I want to talk to you this morning about growing unity in the body of Christ, about being able to understand more about how we function together, how we function with our Lord and Savior, and to try to just remind ourselves about how good it is to be part of something else, be part of the body of Christ. So if you'll get out your Bibles and look and turn to the book of Colossians. And we'll be going back and forth between Colossians and Ephesians a lot. So I just kind of keep some marks there. Anything else, you're on your own. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says, "I rejoice now for the in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church." You know, too often I think we get caught up with the idea that the church is a building. I think if you went and talked to many people across the country, that's what they would think. That's what they picture when they use the word church. And the scriptures really teach something much, much different. Here he says, he calls it his body, the body of Christ. He says, that's the church, the body of believers, that group of us who have put our faith and trust in him. We together form the church. He formed the church, and he talks about the creation of the church in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'd like to go back there just to kind of get a feeling for it. I always like going back to the beginning of things. I'm kind of a literal guy. I like to do things in chronological order. If there's a movie series out, I don't like starting in the middle. I want to start with number one and go forward with it. Right? Star Wars drives me crazy. I don't understand why they started in episode four. You know, I love it, but couldn't we start with episode one? I mean, that was just better, right? But anyway, look at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. Paul talking about the formation of the church, he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So he just spent a couple of verses talking about how the Gentiles were far off. The Gentiles had no place in God's plan and purpose compared to the Israelites. And he wanted to impress upon the church there in Ephesus the fact that there was a difference there once before. But he says, "Now, you Gentiles who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one," both the Jew and Gentile, he says he's brought together, "and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." The preaching of peace to both the Jew and the Gentile. He says, "I've brought you together in one body." We talk about creation, and we go back to Genesis and we look at the creation of the world. And we talk about the various creation acts that he made, the creation of the universe, the creation of mankind, the creation of animal life, the creation of plant life and so forth, the creation of light or a source of light, and all those things. We look at those things, and I think, you know, really the last thing that God created was the church, the body of Christ. And here he says, he created that in himself. He created one new man from the two, from both Jew and the Gentile. He said, "I'm going to create something different. I'm going to create something new. I'm going to create this body of believers who would believe on me no matter what kind of ethnic background they come from. and come to me simply on their faith and trust in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God created them both in one body. And so believers are joined together to form this body. Right? Read on with me in verse 19. He says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, and in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Talking to these Gentile believers, he says, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. You're no longer outside that covenant that I made with Israel, because now we're not dealing with people based on the covenant. Now I'm just looking at growing my body. I'm looking at growing this church. And so he says, you are now members of the household of God. You're fellow citizens with the saints. You're joint citizens with the saints. And as each one is added to that group, he says the body grows. He says, we are together fitted. And so we grow into a holy temple for the Lord. We grow into the corporate dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. I love that phrase, fitted together. We can look out here and we could see all the different personalities that are just here in this room. All the different people here, the different talents, different attitudes, different personalities, different abilities. And yet God knows how to fit them together just so. So that they function the way that He wants to, so they can function and accomplish His plan and purpose in the world. And He does that not just with us. He's doing that with every member of the body of Christ here in Fort Worth. He's doing that with every member of the body of Christ here in Texas. He's doing this with every member of the body of Christ worldwide. He fits us together to form a body that can function and serve Him in His purpose. And so we see the body growing as new members are added. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul identified the head of the body as Christ. He says, and he put all things under His feet and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church. Later on in Ephesians 5, he'll say Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Christ is the one who adds to the body the salvation that we have in Him. Adds to the body. It adds new members. But He's also the head. He also directs the church in the way that it functions, in the way that it fits together. I love the description that Paul makes when he's dealing with the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 15 of his letter to the Colossian brethren. The description of Christ here is so immense. It really helps us picture Him not just in this time, but throughout the ages. He says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether on thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He had preeminence in creation because he was the creator. You know, we see all three persons of the Godhead involved in the creation. And here we see his role. Jesus Christ was the conduit through which God moved. And his role as creator, he said he was able to be in a preeminent position. He was able to be first place in everything through then. But now with this new creation of the body of Christ, he says he had to put Christ at the head so that he would continue to have preeminence over all things. And so he has preeminence. He has first place in the body of Christ. So we see this body, and we see that in part it grows because we add new members to it on a regular basis. We need to look for those opportunities to add new members to the body of Christ. But it also grows in another way. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul kind of gives us in a negative way. He kind of warns us to be careful not to forget to do this. He says he wants us to hold fast to the head. He warns us about what it is not holding fast to the head. If we forget to hold fast to our head, hold fast to Christ, in whom all the body is nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments and grows with the increase that is from God. God and Jesus Christ provide for our growth. I love the way that this is phrased. He says, we should hold fast to the head. Holding fast refers to the idea of grasping something. Sometimes apprehending something. Sometimes it means, you know, do you understand something in a way. But it also literally means to hold on to it, to keep it close. To secure it in a way that it won't get away from us. Sometimes we try to get away from Christ. And he says, don't do that. Hold fast to it. Keep him close to you. Right? He says, from Christ, Christ is the source of growth for all the body. He says, from Christ, the body is nourished. The body is supplied fully and abundantly. That's where we get our supply. He says, from Christ, we are knit together. There's that word again. We were fitted together, now we're knitted together. I can remember as a child watching my mom knit. And she used to knit a lot. She doesn't so much anymore. But she used to knit a lot. And my grandmother would knit a lot. And sometimes they'd knit together. And it was kind of interesting to see them do that. I never quite figured out how the, you know, knitting needles, you know, just by doing this, all of a sudden created something. Right? Because that's what it looked like was going on. And yet at the end, you know, you found this thing that was cohesive, this thing that would, you know, you could stretch it, but it would always come back. You know, it was there. It was something that was useful in that way. And I look at this and I think of us being knitted together, interwoven with each other to form the body of Christ. He says that we can grow there. Christ is the one that kind of puts us together and brings us together, molds us into a way that will help him fulfill his ministry here on this earth. He says he does that by joints and ligaments. And then the body grows with the increase that is from God. You look at the analogy, what do joints do for the body? Yeah, they allow you to move. They make you flexible. gives us an opportunity to do work. It gives us an opportunity to move. It keeps the body flexible. It keeps us able to do things. Right? Ligaments generally hold the body together. So while we're doing those things, I make this gesture and my arm doesn't, you know, go flying across the room. Why? Because there are ligaments and muscles and things tying it together. Right. So it's just kind of one of those things that's interesting here, that the things that both make us flexible, both make us able to do things, also help hold us together. Right. I think of the joints and ligaments that God uses. And I think the joints and ligaments are things like grace and peace and love and faith and humility. Those are the things that help keep us flexible, that help keep us joined together with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those are the kinds of things that keep us together. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he writes, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is your bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are all. To which you also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So we have thanksgiving, we have humility, we have love, we have kindness. These are the things that I think should join us together. We should exhibit these traits certainly toward one another. He asks us to deal with one another in lowliness and gentleness. Certainly with long suffering and bearing with one another. Some of you are hard to deal with. I'm just saying. Or maybe it's me that's hard to deal with for you. But he says we need to bear with one another in that way. I think those are the kinds of joints and ligaments that will help us continue to grow together. You know, if we separate from one another, we cease to grow. It's only as we stay together that we continue to grow. And so he says, we're going to grow with the increase from God. And Christ is the source of that. He fully, abundantly supplies the body and causes all of its parts to combine together in a way that will do the work that he needs us to do. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. There's a different kind of growth besides just the growth in adding new members to the church that Paul is concerned with. And he kind of talks about it here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he gave those folks, he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors, teachers, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But the work of the ministry is for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have that obligation to each other. Now, I think pastors and teachers certainly have the obligation to edify the body of Christ, to build it up, to make it grow. What does he mean by that? He says, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're going to keep edifying. We're going to keep building ourselves up until I know everything about God and Christ that I need to know. Then we'll be done. When is that going to happen? That is never going to happen. Not in my lifetime, I don't think. But he says that's what our goal is. We're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep striving to get there. So that we have that full and complete knowledge of the Son of God. That we could be a complete and perfect man. Verse 14, he continues on, he says, the purpose here is that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. He wants us to grow individually. So we see there's growth of the body when we add new members, but there's also growth of the body when its existing members become stronger. And he's saying we need to do that for each other. I love the way that he phrased that. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by everything that comes wrong. Just following after every teaching that happens. You all know people like that. You've seen people like that before. Every new thing that comes along, oh, hey, that sounds good. Until they hear something new, and then it goes on. I sometimes think of some of the talk shows, like the morning talk shows and things like that, Good Morning America or whatever. I like watching those sometimes. But they never seem to disagree with anybody that's on there. They always seem to like everything. Everybody that has an opinion that comes on there, they go, oh yeah, hey, that's good, I see that. You know, you can't go through life that way. The body of Christ cannot be that way. We are not meant to follow after every single doctrine that comes along. Because not every doctrine is of Christ. Instead, our goal should be to grow up into Him who is the head. God made Christ to be head over the body, and our goal is to grow up into Him. To be more Christ-like in everything that we do. And then verse 16, he adds this. He says, from whom, from Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What a wonderful picture of how our body of Christ is supposed to work together. The whole body joined and knit together. Boy, how many times have we seen that? How much of an emphasis is there on the unity that the body of Christ is supposed to have with one another? Joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So in here we see lots of different things. I think we see some of the goals for the body of Christ. The goal of unity, oneness, completeness in the faith. Unity of the knowledge of Christ. You know, that word there is the word for exact or full knowledge. Complete knowledge of Christ. We should be unified in our pursuit of understanding our Lord and Savior. We should be unified by the faith that we have in Him. By that we become a complete body, both in membership and in understanding. The end of that goal then is to know everything that we can about Christ. Is that our pursuit? Is that what we're striving for? If each of us is striving for that, I can guarantee you we'll be together. We'll be more unified. He says our purpose is not to be children, not to be chasing after everything we hear, but to be chasing after those things that pertain to Christ. To grow into an understanding of all things related to the head. And he says, when we do that, and when every part does its share, we grow. I think it's interesting there. He talks about the parts now doing its share. We do function individually, even as we function corporately. He says, every part has to do its share. What do you think that means? Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are individual members, but we are identified with this one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Paul recognizes the dichotomy here. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. See, the Holy Spirit has placed us in the body of Christ, just exactly where He wants you and me. And we all have to function together to perform His will for the body of Christ. So we have many members, but we are still just one body. Go on with me in verse 15. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they're all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the hand to the head, or nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. See, He doesn't want these separations in the body. He says every part has its share. God has placed us, each one of us, where He needs us. Based on our talents, based on our abilities. And He has placed us in the body just exactly where you need to be. But every part needs to do its share. There is something that you have to do for the body of Christ. Are you fulfilling that role? Are you doing it for them? Are you doing it for us? Are you working in part of, as part of the body? I think those are good questions we need to ask ourselves periodically. I think sometimes those roles can change too over time. Just a simple example. Today, with my voice the way it is, I could stand up here and talk, but there'd be about maybe 7 or 8 of you that could hear me. And the word wouldn't get out to those that are in the back. But thankfully, I've got Brother James working in the back there. And he's got the microphone system working. And everybody can hear. Everybody can hear the word as it's being preached. Now, that doesn't seem like, it seems like it's a simple job. I don't know. I can't work the board back there. Some of you guys can, I know, but I can't do it. That's a talent, that's an ability that he's got that has helped us to have this message today. We are working together to accomplish the will of God in the spreading of the word. And that's just the two of us. But we can all work together in that way by fulfilling our role and serving Him where He has placed us. Read on with me, verse 23. He says, "And those members of the body which we think less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, if you are the body of Christ, and members individually. You see, in this way, he says there should be no separations. Even though we're given different roles, even though we have different purposes in the body, we should be unified. There should be no separations in the body. The command here is that we should care equally for all members. All the members should have the same love, the same care for one another. Do we? Do we love each and every other member of the body of Christ the same? I know I'm guilty of not doing that. But that's a question we need to be asking ourselves. And that's part of what we need to fix as we function in this body of Christ. He says we should have the same care and care equally for all members of the body of Christ. It's not enough just to care for them all. We have to care for them the same way. We have to care for them the same amount. And we share in the lives of each other. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. You ever stubbed your big toe? When it hurts, that's the only thing you ever think about. That's the way it should be for us. If there's somebody that's in the body of Christ and they're hurting and we know about it, we should hurt with them. We should be able to empathize with them, sympathize with them. If one member is honored, then we should all rejoice. If something good happens because of something one person does, it's not because that one person did it. It's because the body of Christ did that. And we should all rejoice in the good that happens. He says, so you are the body of Christ, and members individually. I want to end with looking at Romans chapter 12, where Jake was reading before. You know, chapter 12 starts by talking about our reasonable service with Him. How we owe it to God to sacrifice our lives for Him. Not in the way that Christ sacrificed His life for us, but that we should be a living sacrifice for Him. the deeds of the body, the things that I do in this life, I owe to Christ because of what He did for me. The life that He gave me is no longer mine, but His. And I owe that to Him. And right after he talks to them about that, and right after He makes that challenge for them, He says this in verse 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Pride gets in the way every time. It says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He doesn't say, think badly about yourself. Because He's just mentioned, doesn't He, that every part is important. Every piece in the body of Christ, every individual member that we have is important to the way the body functions, and that without it, the body doesn't function well. So He says, but also don't think more highly of yourself. Don't think that your role is more important than somebody else's. Instead, think soberly. Think evenly. Right? It says, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That phrase touches me more than anything else that I've read here today. That we are members of one another. I am joined together with you. And you are joined to me in the body of Christ. And the only way that we really function well together is if we do just that. We do it together. We do it in the same way. We do it with the same objectives. You ever seen the three-legged race? Why is the three-legged race funny? Because most of the people don't do it together. You can't go in opposite directions, for one thing. That doesn't work. But if you're going in the same direction, if you're going with the same purpose, if you're going by the same instruction, then you can get to the end. And He says, I am joined to you. I am individually member with you. I am part of you. And you are part of me. And the more we remember that about the body, I think the better we function, the more unity we have with one another. He recognizes the diversity that we have, though. He says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, use it in teaching. He who exhorts, use it in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, lead with diligence. He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. We all have things that we do well. Some of you are really, really good at exhortation, at building people up. I receive that a lot sometimes from you. He says, use that. To be good at something and not use it for Christ is the shame. Use your gifts, use your talents to fulfill your function in the body of Christ. Perform your function to the best of your ability. I can encourage other people. But I'll tell you, I'm not a great encourager. I'd like to work on that. And I can get better at that. But I'm not a natural encourager. But there are others that are natural encouragers. And you should be using that to encourage us in the body. Perform your function to the best of your ability. When we do that together as the body of Christ, we grow. So here's the questions I want us to ask as we kind of leave here and as we kind of go throughout this coming week. And questions I'd like to come back to every once in a while. Am I growing the body of Christ? Am I looking to add new members? Am I growing individually into my head? Am I becoming a stronger Christian? Am I helping others to become stronger in Christ? Have I assumed the role in the body that's been given to me? Am I using my talents for the Lord? Am I doing the work to the best of my ability? I think if we keep those things in mind and keep in mind how this body functions, how we are members of one another, and we continue to ask those questions of us and continue to challenge ourselves with those things, not only will we grow together as a body, we will accomplish great things together for Christ. And that's what we want to do. We want to be effective in the ministries that He's given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that You have placed us in the body of Christ. I'm so grateful that You have placed me in this time in which I live in the age of grace. And I can come to You simply on the basis of my faith and trust in Your Son. I'm so thankful that You have given to us various ministries to work out the ministry of reconciliation. That You have reconciled the world unto Yourself. And that we have that ministry to spread that word of reconciliation to those that are around us, that they can come to You simply by faith and trust in what Christ has already accomplished for them. We pray that You'd help us to become faithful and more prolific in the way that we spread that word. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to spread or to fulfill the ministry in respect to the mystery. You have opened up a new source of knowledge here, that You have revealed to us this dispensation in which we live and this gospel in which we preach and this age that we function under, that we might be able to spread news to those that are around us, to those that believe about the mystery that You have presented to us, that You have selected us for this time. And we pray that You would be able to help us to spread that word to those around us, to help us to teach those that are around us, to be able to encourage those that are around us, that we might all learn more about Your grace and about what it means to live by faith in Your Son. We pray that we will challenge ourselves with these things as we go forward from this place, that we will continue to look for opportunities to serve in the body of Christ, and that we might become closer to one another. But more importantly, Lord, we pray that we would become members of one another, that we would really fully embrace the fact that we are members of each other, and that we are part of one another, and that we might be able to really serve together in that way. All these things we pray in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.